Thank you, Al Ray Choir, again, for blessing us with a portion of the Christmas musical that they presented to us 2 weeks ago. What a great reminder that it truly is the greatest story ever told, isn't it? I think we have examined that in these past few weeks as we have I talked about the advent of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, as we looked at what the advent brings to us, as we've talked about hope, we've talked about the glory of God. Last week we talked about the peace of God. This week I want to talk about love, because when we think about this little baby coming to us, we can't help but think about the love that came near. I mean, in this world today, outside the church, but the world, right? The world really knows little of love. I mean, if you look at our musicians and the songs that they sing a lot about love, don't they? I remember from the 80s a song called "I Want to Know What Love Is." Anybody remember that song? A pop song? You have the king, right? The Elvis. "Love Me Tender, Love Me Sweet." You know, he's talking about love. We have all these songs about love and not knowing, or there's one song, "I'm Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places," right? Anybody remember that song? We sing these songs about love, and sometimes we have this skewed idea of what love is. In fact, today we kind of use that word very flippantly at times, don't we? Well, I love that book, or I love that movie, or I love that food. Well, maybe food's a different category. Right? I just saw Carol, "I love your cookies," by the way. And that's, there's several people. When we have fellowships, I look to see if she makes those cookies, and then I covet them. So anyway, I'm not saying please make me some, but I'm just saying I love your cookies, okay? Maybe food's a different category, but you understand what I'm saying. We use that word, "I love this," or "I love that," or I love my wife, I love my kids, I love my family. I truly loved yesterday meeting with my family and enjoying that time of fellowship and food. And we do a secret, well, not really a secret Santa. We call it what do we call it? A dirty Santa. Yeah, okay, a dirty Santa, where we buy something, we wrap it up, and we put it over there, and then we draw numbers, and we get to, I love that time, not because of the presents necessarily, but because of the interaction that we have. And, you know, you have that opportunity to steal or open, right? And I'm always the person that's chanting, "Steal or open. Steal or open." I mean, it's just fun. I love that time. And I'm sure you have maybe some family traditions that you still engage in, or you might remember that you would say, "I just loved that time." Well, I want to take us down maybe memory lane a little bit. This is nothing earth-shattering that I want to share with you this morning, but I want to share with you seven things that we might now have, or that the reason why love came near. Seven reasons love came near to us. When we look at the Word of God, I also want to try to link these even to the I Am statements of Jesus Christ. Because I think when love came near, we are now afforded many wonderful things. And I think during this Christmas time, we need to be reminded of the gift that God truly gave us in His Son Jesus and what He provided for us. Even as we've talked about the hope, the glory, and the peace, so much more so, I think we need to understand that if it wasn't for Christ coming to us, we truly wouldn't know what love is. So let's look at this. I want to read Matthew chapter 1, verses 16 through 25, and then flip over to 1:14. This is in the midst of Matthew's narrative of the birth of Jesus. It says, "The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated, "God is with us." When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to him, to a son. And he named him Jesus. Now flip over to John 1 in your Bibles, verse 14. I've quoted this a couple of times probably already this Christmas season. It says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." I love this idea of love coming near. Love truly came near because we see that Jesus was not like any other human being. In fact, he wasn't just human. He was the God-man. God dwelling among us, as John chapter 1, verse 14 says. And it says that even in the passage that we read in Matthew chapter 1, it says that his name would be Emmanuel. God is with us. Love coming near. And I want to share with you, love came near so that we might know what love truly is. 1 John, you've noticed that I've had a lot of scripture these past few Sundays, correct? Because I believe sometimes we forget the thread that runs through scripture. We need to see it. We need to link it together and see this wonderful letter that truly is a love letter to us, and how love is not only, as we talked about hope, we talked about glory, we talked about peace, and now as we talk about love, how it's God has weaved this throughout His Word. He's speaking love to us this morning. Love came near so that we might know. 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. "Dear friends, let us love one another, because," why? "Love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God." Why? Because God is love. There it is. Love came near because so that we might know what love truly is. Let's go on a little bit further. It says, "God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." Love came near so that we might know what love truly is. It says that God is love. And so if we want to have any idea, in fact, if he says here that if we do not love, we do not know God, because God is love. So if we want to know what love truly is, we don't look outside of God, the Creator, the Almighty God, the Eternal Father. We can't look to the world. We can't look to these things of the world. And, you know, we talk about this busy season and how we get wrapped up in doing this and doing that, buying this and buying that, all these things that are attached to Christmas that are not a part of Christ Jesus, they don't provide love, do they? They might provide enjoyment, and they might provide enjoyment for a period of time, but none of them provide love for us. It is only through Jesus Christ that we know what love truly is. Love consists in this. Isn't that what Scripture says? That God sent His one and only Son, not only to the world, but then to die in our place. God sent His Son. Love came near so that we might know what love truly is. Romans 5:8 tells us that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. He demonstrated His love. Isn't that what it says? God demonstrated His love. It was a display of His love by sending His Son. Love came near. And then we see, I want to link it to the I Am statement in John 14:6. And you might think this I was thinking about this. He says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, right? So we want to, he says, it's through me. I have loved you. Love came near. I am the way. Notice what, if you look in Acts chapter 9, and even in verse 2, as it's talking about how Saul was persecuting the church, notice what it says about them, that they were people of the, what? Anybody remember? The way, right? People of the way. And the reason why they were called the people of the way is because they love God and they love people. You look at the history of the early church there in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 4 and the things that they did for one another. They loved one another. They loved the Scripture. They loved God and they loved people. And so they were considered people of the way. That's why Jesus says, I am the way. If you want to know what love truly is, I am the way to know that. Did you hear it? Did you see that this morning? No one comes to the Father but through me. That's why love came near, so that we might know what love truly is. Well, I'm already getting excited, and that's only point number one, right? And I've got six more to go. I might just burst this morning, right? No, let's not do that. That might be a little messy. Okay, all right. Love came near so that we might be saved. Now, I've kind of already talked about this, but you look at Luke 19:10, when at the end of that wonderful encounter with Zacchaeus, right? When Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I cannot say Zacchaeus without thinking about that song that I learned. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. Anybody remember? Okay, all right. We're raising our hands this morning. We're getting a little charismatic. All right. But you remember that account and how Jesus changed his life. And Jesus saved him, didn't he? Saved him from his greed. Saved him from an empty way of life because he spent his life accumulating riches, thinking that that would fulfill him. But then love came to town. Love came near, right? And Zacchaeus had to run and find a tree and jump up in it so he could see the embodiment of love. And then love did something strange. Love came near to him. Came to the bottom of that tree and looked up at him and said, Zacchaeus, come down because I'm going to your house. Remember that? And then at the end, Jesus says, for the Son of the Man came to what? To seek and to save that which is lost. Love came near so that we might be saved. Saved from our empty pursuits in life. Our empty pursuits of trying to find love in all the wrong places. Do you hear that this morning? Love came near so we might be saved. And then if you look at the I Am statement found in John chapter 10, verse 9. Man, this is so, I don't know why God does this. It's so amazing. Verse 9, he says, I am the gate, or I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he what? Will be saved. He will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. He will be saved. Jesus, you know, as we said earlier, he's the way, the truth, and the life to get to the Father. But once you come in, you are saved. I am the gate. Jesus, that image of the shepherd that would sit there and he would get in between that fold and he would sleep right here. Right here in between, this is the fold. Okay, can you have some imagination this morning? Right here, the sheep would come in, and the shepherd would be in the midst, and he's the door. No one comes in, and no one goes out without him. Does that make sense? They're saved. All right, I got up. That was amazing. Sometimes when we get older, we don't get up as quickly, right? A little animated this morning. I'm sorry. Well, maybe I shouldn't apologize. But when we think about the birth of Jesus, we've got to think about these things. We've got to increase our awe and our wonder of what God did for us nearly 2,000 years ago, and it's still in effect today. It's not just a story that we think about only during this time of year, a story that affects the way things look on the outside, and not just when I say look on the outside, not just the decorations, but even how we decorate ourselves. Because I was talking with someone the other day, it's amazing how kind-hearted during this time people become, right? Because of the season. But why can't we be that all the time? It's not just for this time of year. Right? As Christ followers, as children of God, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to function like that always. All right, love came near so that we might know what love truly is, so that we might be saved. And then I've already alluded to this in saying that we're children of God. Love came near so that we might be adopted, that we might be adopted. John 1:12 tells us. I want to read that one. It says, "But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be what? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. Love came near so that we might be adopted. We were without a family. We are estranged from God. And now that love has come near, and because love lived a perfect life and love went to the cross for our sins, now we can be part of the children of God when we place our faith in him, even to those who believe in his name, correct? So we might be adopted. And this idea of adoption, we look in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Beginning in verse 4, it says, "When the time came to completion," this is Paul talking about the advent of Christ, right? "When the time came to completion, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive" what? Adoptions as sons and daughters. Adoption. We are now, as Paul talked about in Romans, now we have the ability to cry out, "Abba, Father," right? We are now children of God. And now I want you to link this back to John chapter 10, verse 11. We just read verse 9, and Jesus, he was the gate. And now he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, since he is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he is a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep." Go on to verse 14. "I am the good shepherd." Now listen to this. "I know my own, and my own know me." That sounds like a familial connection, doesn't it? I know my sheep. I'm the good shepherd. Do you see that this morning? Love came near us so we might be adopted, so that we can be fully known by God and we can fully know him. That's the wonderful thing about family, isn't it? When we meet, and even if we haven't seen family for a period of time, maybe months, maybe years, we still have that connection, and we still open up. We have that familial connection, and we talk about things of the past, memories, and that's, isn't that a wonderful thing? So we might be known. God wanted us to be a part of his family, so love came near to make that possible. Love came near so that we might know what love truly is, so that we might be saved, so that we might be adopted. Now, also so that we might not fear the devil. Have you ever thought about that? The world was living in darkness, wasn't it? Isn't that how it is described in Scripture? People living in darkness, they have what? Seen a great light. Isn't that what Scripture tells us? Darkness in Scripture is always linked to the works of Satan, right? Sin and darkness is... So he came so that we might not fear darkness. Look at what Hebrews chapter 2. Excuse me. Verse 14, it says this. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these. All right, this is almost the author of Hebrews, his version of the birth narrative of Christ. Jesus also shared in these because he became flesh and dwelt among us, so that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is, the devil. Now flip over to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and see what Paul has to say there. He says, "And when you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of death with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us, and has taken it away by nailing it to the cross." Now listen to what he says in 15. "He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them in him." He disarmed them. So what does that communicate? That communicates that Satan has no authority in our lives anymore. That darkness that we found ourselves in because we have seen a great light, and that light has come into our lives. Isn't that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, that is much like in creation when God spoke light into existence, beginning to order the chaos of creation there at the beginning. You remember that? The earth was formless and void, and the first thing he says, "Let there be light," and he starts ordering the chaos of creation. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians, of how when we meet Jesus, it's as if God is speaking light into our lives, beginning to order the chaos of our souls, so that we might not have to fear Satan any longer. Scripture goes on to tell us that because we place our faith in Jesus Christ, that not only that we don't have to fear Satan, but that we are more than conquerors. Do you see that? We are more than conquerors. We don't have to worry about sin. We shouldn't have to worry about sin anymore. Although we allow sin to have control in our life, we understand that through the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can overcome that. Not only can we overcome it, but we have this sense that Christ has already overcame that for us, so that all we have to do is share in that victory. Because we are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So what does that tell me? I shouldn't have to fear Satan any longer. Right? That's why love came near, so that we might not fear the devil. Now link this to the I am statement of Jesus Christ found in John chapter 8. Because we have been talking about light, you know where this is going. Chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to them again, and what did he say? "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We do not have to fear Satan any longer, do we? Because love came near. Love came near so that we might know what love truly is. We might be saved. We might be adopted. We might not fear the devil. Also, that we might know how to truly live. How to truly live. Isn't that what Jesus showed us when he was upon this earth? He showed us the way to live perfectly in the will of the Father. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8 gives us an idea, gives us a clue at the kind of attitude that Christ had. Paul says there in verse 5, "Adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had become as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on a cross." He showed us how to live. How are we to live? With humility. How are we to live? As a servant, right? As serving people, because Christ himself said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve." Correct? That's how we are to live. Titus 2, 11 through 14, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared." Now this is Paul again talking about the advent of Christ, right? "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." Now listen to this. This is how we're to live. "Instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lust and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to cleanse for himself a people for his own possession, eager to do good works. Love came near so that we might know how to truly live. And how do we truly live when we think about the I am statement of Jesus Christ found in John chapter 15, verse 5? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Because why? You can do nothing. All right, let me say that again. You can do nothing without me. How are we to live? We're to live in Christ Jesus, right? Remember what we talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, how just all throughout that first chapter, it's in him, in Jesus, in him. Do you remember that? Everything's about Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the vine. You connect yourself to me, then you're living. Does that make sense? And not only are you living, but you're going to produce fruit. That means, what does that mean for me? That means that my life will be fulfilling. Because I will be doing what I was created to do, and that's to bring glory to God. Because I'm telling you that the fruit itself does not glorify the branch. It glorifies the vine, doesn't it? We might know how to truly live. Love came near so that we might know what love truly is. We might be saved. We might be adopted. We might not fear the devil. We might know how to truly live. And then here's another great reason, right? So that we might overcome death. Death itself. Oh, this is not hard to think about, right? When love came near, what do most people fear? Death, right? I say what most people fear, but what people fear the most. I guess that's what I should say. I would say it's death. Even as a Christ follower, it's a bit unsettling, isn't it? Because it's something that's foreign to us, because all we really know, all that we experience ourselves is life. Now we experience death in the sense that we have loved ones and friends who pass from this life to the next, and that's how we experience life. But personally, like physically, we don't experience death until the moment of death. And so that's unsettling to us, even as a Christ follower. But the wonderful thing about being a Christ follower is that we know that death is not the end, right? Death is really just kind of the beginning of something even more miraculous and wonderful than what we experience here on this earth with Jesus Christ. Paul talked about this idea of the resurrection and Christ's resurrection and how he overcame death in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He's trying to help them understand that if we don't have this idea that there's something beyond this world right here, and it's only made possible through Jesus Christ because he overcame death, then we're to be pitied the most of all people in the world because we're living a lie. We would be living a lie even in this moment this morning because we sang Christmas carols to a baby that was born that didn't really rise from the grave. Does that make sense? Then the world around us should be pitying us because we truly are fools this morning if Christ wasn't raised from the dead and if Christ didn't conquer death. Listen to what Paul says at the end of this. And I love, and I'm using that word a lot this morning. I love hearing this passage of Scripture at the time of memorial services and of funerals, because of this is a wonderful reminder of me that even in this moment, though it may be full of sorrow, it can also be full of hope, because this loved one that we, or this friend who knew Jesus Christ, who is before us this morning, we're going to see him again, right? Because Christ overcame death so that we might participate in that. Paul says, beginning in verse 54 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when this corruptible body is clothed with incorruptibility And when this mortal body is clothed with immortality, then the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where death is your victory? Where death is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Whew. Well, these are a lot of good reasons why love came near, and a lot of good reasons why we should just be on the edge of our seat this morning. Not because I'm telling you these things, because God's speaking to you this morning through His Word that this is true. Love came near so that we might know what love truly is, so that we might be saved, so that we might be adopted, so we might not fear the devil, so we might know how to truly live, so that we might overcome death. And then lastly, this morning, so that we might have eternal life. So that we might have eternal life. John 3:16. You were waiting for me to get there, weren't you? Anybody this morning was like, when is he going to quote, or when is he going to go to the quintessential verse of all Christianity, right? John 3:16. For God so loved the world this morning that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, what? They would not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life this morning. This just wraps it up, doesn't it? It completes it of why love came near. Now look at this. Wait, you know what? I didn't even go to the I am statement in overcoming death, but you knew where I was going, right? John 11:25, Jesus told Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection. Okay, I had to go back a little bit. I didn't link it. I told you I was going to, but I didn't on that one. Now this one, let's go here. And I want you to see this. I didn't really think about this one until I did some studying and just meditating on this. Jesus says in John 6, chapter 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. Jesus told them, no one comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. And you think about that in terms of eternal life. There's no more hunger, no more thirst. You think about heaven. There's not going to be any hunger anymore, no more thirst, right? We still eat, though, won't we? Can somebody tell me that this morning? Somebody, please, tell me we're going to eat, right? Because I love eating, right? Even though there's not going to be any hunger anymore, we're still going to eat because we think about that banquet table, right? We think about the tree of life that's by the river of life that bears its fruit in season. I'm going to be picking that fruit. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be eating. I'm going to be enjoying it. But all right, let's go on. He says, but as I have told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should not lose, that I should lose none of those who he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. Listen to that. It is overcoming death. For this is the will of my Father. He says, this is the will of God, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will, what? Have eternal life. And I will raise him up on that last day. I am the bread of life. Bread, you know, we think about bread being the sustenance for us even now. And we're commanded, even in the model prayer, to pray that. Give us this day our daily bread, right? But when we think about, we link this to eternal life and this bread that causes us to never hunger again, to never, and when we taste the living water so that we will never thirst again, we can't help but think, but that throughout all eternity, we will be sustained by the bread of life himself, Jesus Christ. Love came near this morning. Did you hear that in the passage we read? Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Love came near so that we might know what love truly is. So that we might be saved. So that we might be adopted, so that we might not fear the devil, so that we might know how to truly live, so that we might overcome death, and so that we might have eternal life. My question to you this morning is this: do you know this love? Do you know it? Have you experienced it? Has it changed you? Because I want to tell you this morning, if you know this love, if you've experienced this love, you can't help but be changed. Right? Because this love changes everything. Our whole lives are different now. I tell you this all the time. Before I was just 3 months shy of my 8th birthday, love came near to me, and love grabbed a hold of my heart, and love asked me, "Do you want to know me?" And I said, "Yes." And I was changed, even though I was only, nearly 8 years old, and I didn't know what love was. But as I've walked with God, I think that I've gained a better grasp of that. My question to you this morning, do you know this love? Those of us in here, I know there's many of us in here, you have experienced this love. And I know that just because you are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. You've experienced this love. And I know that this love has changed you. But at times in our life, we have to admit our love grows cold, doesn't it? Our love grows cold for God. We see that in Scripture, even the letters to one of the churches. You've left your first love. We understand that this happens. We lose our love for our fellow man, don't we? So even if we have experienced it, and even if we have experienced change, it's still an everyday occurrence where we have to allow love to come near enough to us to effect that change on a daily basis. And let me ask you this morning, do you need God to rekindle that love for Him this morning? Maybe rekindle that love for your fellow brother or sister in Christ, or your fellow co-worker, for your family members, for your friends, because He wants to come near and He wants you to live in this love, to experience this love, not only yourself, but to experience in such a way that it overflows in somebody else's life, because that's what we're designed to do. So Christian brother and sister this morning, do you know this love? Why not reacquaint yourself this morning? I think that's what God is speaking to us this morning. Reacquaint yourself with me. Because when you do, it changes everything. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, "Jonathan, I don't know this love. I've never experienced it." What we've walked through this morning, I've walked through salvation this morning to you, because Jesus Christ is love, and He came near for you and me. And then He went and He died on the cross. For God so loved you this morning that He gave His only begotten Son. And all you have to do is say, "Yes, I believe that this morning." And love will come in and it will change you. I promise you, it will change you. So won't you give in to love's call this morning? If that's you, we're going to have a time of response. I'm going to encourage you to come forward. I would love to pray with you. I would love to show you even more through God's Word how love came near and how love wants to change you. Would you do that this morning? God is speaking to us. Haven't you heard Him this morning? Respond. Respond. Father, as we go into this time of response, we are so thankful that love came near. So many things that You afforded to us because Jesus Christ became flesh and dwelt among us. I pray, Father, this morning for that individual or those individuals who may have never experienced this love. They've never been changed by this love. God, I pray that they would give in to Your voice this morning, Your voice of love that is calling them to You. so that they might be changed. God, for those of us who are yours, we've been adopted. We confess this morning that at times our love does grow cold for you and for others. And God, we know that's what we're to be about, is loving you and loving people. God, through the working of your Holy Spirit, would you help us to respond in such a way that your love would change us once again. Change us in such a way that it spurs greater devotion for you and a greater love for our brothers and sisters. God, this is your time this morning, and we give it to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you